Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Years ago, when I was in seminary, while commenting on this very text and account, one of my professors said this: "The women in Jesus' circles seem to have a better grasp on his prophecies about his death and resurrection than do his closest male disciples." So what's that supposed to mean for us guys? I don't know. We don't pay attention too much? What? Oh, sorry. We have an interesting scene here in this text before us. It takes place the night before our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the town of Bethany was just a few miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus would frequently go to this home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was kind of his little getaway from things at times. And Mary now comes with this very, very costly, expensive ointment and breaks this container open. It's called a spikenard. It's apparently an oil that is made from the roots of plants that are found only in Nepal and China and India's mountains. And she had purchased this very expensive ointment and now used it to anoint Jesus. And it was roughly a year's wages. Think how much money that tiny little thing would have cost. A 19th century convert to Christianity from Judaism, a professor at Oxford by the name of Alfred Edersheim, said this about this incident: "The wonderful light of Mary's gift sheds even a darker shadow on the greedy treason of Judas." Now think about Judas for a second. He's sitting here at the table, maybe feet away, maybe right next to Lazarus, whom Christ has recently risen from the dead. Just a couple chapters earlier than this. He's described as being there present for the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And think of all the other miracles that he got to witness of Jesus performing and to see the power of Christ and to just observe Jesus for years now gently dealing with sinful people and what a gracious and merciful Savior he had come to be. And yet all of this advantage that he had had, being so close to Christ, and still his heart is drawn back to money and drawn back to the things of this world. And he's lured away from keeping his focus really on his Savior and what's important. And he measures the situation, this scene with this ointment, he measures the situation from the standpoint of how the world looks at things in terms of fiscal responsibility and in terms of what has value. And he concludes, how silly to take this extremely costly ointment and to use it on this man. And it's easy for me to look at Judas in this text and shake my head at him, but I have to admit, there's a part of me inside of me that understands. There's a part of me that kind of tends to want to agree with Judas. And that's why I, in my life, am so often so stingy when it comes to Christ. And so stingy when it comes to supporting his church and the work and the cause of the gospel. I must admit that this this minimizing of Christ and this kind of thinking it's a little overblown, that same thinking bubbles up at times in my heart and mind as well. It's kind of like, what's all the fuss about? What's all the big deal about this Jesus? Why should I spend so much time and attention in my life on this Christ? So Judas sees the approaching death of our Lord and has his hatred for him grow. Mary, on the other hand, sees the approaching death of her Lord and has her love for Christ grow. And isn't that the great contrast that there exists in the world today between the church and those who are not inside of the church, the Holy Christian Church of True Believers? The one views the cross as senseless and an unnecessary event in human history, but the eyes of faith look at it as the most precious act that's ever been done for mankind. And that's why St. Paul says it so simply. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And that right there is the great divide. It's the Judas and the Mary. That's the great divide that exists in the world. Humble faith recognizes the relevance of who Christ is, very God of very God, here in front of us in human form, humbling himself, going to the cross, dying to be raised again. Humble faith recognizes the significance of this great sacrifice. It shouldn't surprise us that this comes out in Mary, the one who sat attentively at Jesus' feet, listening to him. And it's that same introspective devotion in her Savior's word that we see coming out here. I've maybe told this story before, but I often think of this when I think of Mary in this situation. Years ago, I had a phone call from an elderly member in our church who was in a nursing home. And his wife had just now been admitted to the same nursing home, and they were going to be in separate rooms. But her husband had called me and asked if I would go visit her, and the reason was she had just started to slip with her memory, and he could tell that she was now starting to lose her memory. And so I went to see her. She was just a tough old lady and just a wonderful, humble little Christian lady. And I remember when I came into her room, I looked above her bed, and the first thing I saw was a crucifix that she had taped to the wall with about 40 pieces of tape. 40 pieces of tape just plastered this crucifix about the size of your hand to the wall. And I know that at least one of her caretakers who told me about it thought it was silly. But in the kingdom of God, this was the most beautiful decorating you could do. That old lady Stella in God's kingdom should have received her own interior decorator show on HGTV. You see, the kingdom of God looks differently at the things that this world thinks are so ridiculous. When you, by faith, when the Holy Spirit causes your heart to recognize your sin and to realize what that really means for your future if it were not atoned for, and when the Holy Spirit causes your heart to then come to see what Christ has done for you and grabs that and holds on to that and the great forgiveness he has won, there's no dollar amount that you can put on that. There is nothing that trumps that. Where Christ is to be found through his word and sacrament, faith looks at it and says, that's the gate of heaven. This is now the pearl of great price in my life. This is now the treasure that is buried and hidden in the field that I've got to buy. This is my one thing needful. Notice how our Lord Jesus so beautifully praises and shows his appreciation to Mary for this wonderful gift. Yeah, Jesus gets good stewardship. He does. He understands that we need to take care of our money and our possessions and all of that. But when it's used to glorify him, how wonderful that is in his eyes. In heaven's economic system, this was such a beautiful gesture. And notice Jesus defends her against these taunts. Let her alone. That's a great line. Let her alone. The world might someday mock and jeer at you for your faith, and maybe it's doing it right now, and for your devotion to Christ. But your Lord Jesus And really all that he thinks is what matters. That's all that matters. Your Lord Jesus appreciates it. And he says to you, as his faithful, he who confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father in heaven. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have caused your beloved Son to take on our human nature upon himself, that he might give us the example of humility and suffer death upon the cross for our sins. Mercifully grant us a believing knowledge of this, that we may follow the example of his patience and be made partakers of the benefits of his sacred passion and death. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.